Shabbat Shalom, all of you. Good to see all of you once again, and happy National Day. And of course, thank you to all the NS men who are going through a season of life where, you know, you become men, right? And I do believe that it is an important, you know, as a Malaysian, I never got to go to NS. They didn't want me, you know, so. But I actually would have liked to. I ended up serving on the ship for about 2 years, right? That's like NS. Wake up every morning, fix time, clean floor, do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it is the shaping of you as a person. And, you know, they say what doesn't break you makes you, right? I think it's very important for you all to grow, to be strong. Because now you're no more boys, right? Our boys to men, right? So you're men now. So thank you very much for your service. I also noticed something. We were singing that song, the Good Good song, right? What's the name of that song? Good Good Father. But it doesn't say Good Good Father, right? Okay, the one that we were just singing before. And I was thinking, you know, I'm getting a bit old-fashioned, because I noticed the older songs will go a little bit further than new songs. So the new songs will say, well, God, you're so amazing, you're so good, you're so wonderful, and it tends to end there, right? But the older songs go a little bit further. There's this song called Love So Amazing, So Divine. When I survey the wondrous cross, it says, love so amazing, love so divine, it demands my life, my soul, and my all. And actually, when you sing the songs, I think we need to go beyond thinking about how good God is, because you know what, God is very good whether we sing or not, right? He's already very good. But if God is so good, what does that demand of us? I think that would be worship, right? Worship is when we respond and not simply declare the goodness of God. So when next time you sing the song, you know, God is so good. Yeah, but am I so good or not, right? So what are we going to do? So I want to encourage all of us, you know, maybe we think about this season of worshiping and growing, you know, whether you are an NS man. And by the way, the growth that you encounter in NS, you know, now is 18 months. It doesn't stop when you ORD, right? It stops when you see the Lord. So actually, maybe then even it doesn't stop. Anyway, we just had our National Day, and you know, I guess many of us enjoyed. I was particularly interested in looking at Mr. Mahathir sitting next to Mr. Goh Chok Tong, and both of them look incredibly unhappy. I wonder why. So I don't know if you've seen the online photos of that. Both of them really look like bulldog. So, but nonetheless, it is a historical event, a bicentennial, 200 years of celebrating the goodness of God. And it's right that a nation should come together to celebrate, to remember. However, today is also a very special day in the history of the Jewish people. Today is a day known as the Tish B'Av, also known as the ninth of the month of Av. And the reason why this day is historical is because between the 7 and 9 of Av, in the year 586 BC, the first temple to God was destroyed. So it was a calamity of epic proportions in the history of the people. They always remember, oh, terrible thing, you know, how could the temple of God be destroyed? And then in 70 AD, also around the 9th of Av, the second temple was destroyed. It seems like they always get destroyed on the same day. And there were a number of other calamities that was destroyed. So as a result of that, within history and the tradition of the Jewish people, they tended to fast on the day of the 9th of Av, and Av being the fifth month. They will fast, you know, they will read the book of Lamentations and lament, you know, God, you know, it's such a terrible thing. And they will cry, they'll put ashes on their head, they'll mourn, they'll do all this stuff. And so, in the book of Zechariah, when they finished building the second temple, a question arose, right? Because they've been fasting and crying and mourning and, you know, groaning for 70 years. Telling God, oh Lord, we are so sad, you know, we wish to see your temple, we love your temple, they'll be crying, groaning, all these things, right? And suddenly, the temple was done, second temple was done. So the question arose was, do we have to keep fasting, right? So what do you think? Must keep fasting or not, now that the second temple is done? What do you reckon? They can ask the priest, so pretend you're one of the priests, right? This guy's coming, now that the second temple is up, we don't have to mourn anymore. So do we have to keep fasting? What do you reckon? How many of you think keep fasting? How many of you didn't fast at all? The rest of you is like neither here nor there. Well, okay. The good news is that God answered the question. Okay, so let me read for you Zechariah chapter 7 verse 1 to 3. Now on the fourth year of King Darius came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth month of the ninth month Kislev, where the people sent Sherezer with Regemelech and his men to the house of the Lord to pray before the Lord, to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophet, saying, should I weep in the first month, on the fifth month, and fast as I have done for so many years, 70 years to be precise, they've been doing this. So, do we do this? And the answer was surprising. God's answer was a little bit out of left field. They didn't see this coming, alright? Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat or drink, do you not eat or drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord that the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets, when Jerusalem and all the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and lowland were inhabited? So basically, God answered and said, you didn't fast for me all these 70 years, right? And now this is radical. I don't know. This is stuff that a prophet would say, right? Shock everybody. Because all these people were thinking that they were being very religious. They think that they were worshipping the Lord. They were singing to the Lord. They were fasting before. They were doing all the things that you might imagine spirituality constitutes, right? They're being very spiritual. They study the Bible. They read the Bible. You know, they spend their time. They mourn. They do all these things. And God is saying, I didn't ask you to do any of these things. I didn't ask you to cry. I did not ask you to mourn. I did not ask you to fast. I didn't ask you to do. You did it for yourselves. And I tell you, in the church today, there is a danger that so often the spirituality that we experience, that we call Christianity, is sometimes man-made. Sometimes we make up this stuff, and then we get into the stuff that we make up, right? And then we start to convince ourselves that, you know what, this is spirituality. And yet, over the 70 years, it never occurred to anybody to stop and ask, hey, is this what God really wants? It is like some of us, you know, you rush into it and you climb the wall with all your might. You climb the stairs, you climb and climb and climb, and then you get halfway. Hey, is this the right wall or not? Right? Something's like this. And I think sometimes Christians, we tend not to ask this sort of questions. I'm not sure why. Maybe we are too eager, right? But the lesson here is, it is important to stop to consider and ask ourselves, are we doing what God really wants us to do? Or are we in fact just doing what tradition, human tradition, tells us to do, right? Now, it's hard because, you know, we grew up, many of you grew up in churches. As when you are a small kid until now, you've been told, oh, Christianity is this and that and that other thing, right? You must do all these things, you must talk a certain way, you must speak in tongues, you must sing certain songs, you must cry a few tears also every now and then, right? And preferably you kneel down. These things you do are expressions of your love to God. But the question you had asked, is this what God wants? Would you agree that that's an important question? Right? I mean, long ago there was this movie that came out, What Women Want. I don't know how many of you actually watched it, but probably before your time. This man has superpower. He knows what woman, he can read their mind. You know? So he can always give them what they want, right? Yeah? Obviously somebody. Right? Now, I think we need to know what God really wants. So, what does God really want? So God says, He answers, He says that, should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord? I already told you what I want. I told you, this is what I want. But you never did it. Instead you went and did something else that I never asked you to do, but you make it up yourselves, right? And you think, because of that, you guys are very religious. Oh boy, right? So God says, you didn't do it for me. 70 years wasted. Doing stuff, you know, climbing the wrong tree. 70 years of never even stopping to ask and question whether or not they were doing the right thing. The level of presumption there was staggering. To go in there and assume that yeah, it's correct, but actually turn out all salah, you know. Right? So, I think today, you know, as Christians, as you're growing up, because you're young, everyone will tell you what to do. Everyone will tell you what to believe, right? But you know what? God has given you a big gift. It's right between your ears. It's called your brain. God has gifted you with a brain to think and ask the question, is this what God really wants? Or is this what just some Fulham made up, you know. Today there are people who are declaring, this is revival, that is revival. And people say, Christianity is about fasting. Christianity, I was praying this particular way. Oh no, Christianity is about being very contemplative. Christianity is this kind of stuff. All this stuff, is it really what Christianity is? Is this what Jesus would be interested in if he was here today? God says, I've told you what I want. And this is what he said, verse 9 to 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother, or you could say to his neighbor. Do not oppress the widows or the fatherless, the alien or the poor, let none of you plan evil in his heart against a brother. Very simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the Lord is asking, right? And God says, guys, I ask you to do one thing only. Why are you going to do these other things, right? I ask you to do one small thing, you're going to do other things. You know, imagine I tell someone, hey, can you wash my car? Not? Oh, no, no, no. I pumped your tire for you. I didn't ask you to pump my tire for me. I asked you to wash my car. Hey, I go and repaint your car for you. I didn't ask you to repaint. I like the color of the car. Never mind. I repunked the car for you. I didn't ask you what all things there are. Can you imagine? God got no hair because they pulled it all out already, waiting for these people to get the message. So sometimes Christians are like this. You know, it's very sad because I think so many of us are just interested in religion, but we are not interested in the heart of God the Father. And what is on the heart of God the Father? That we should love our neighbor. Everyone say, love your neighbor. Right? But what did they do? It says, they refuse to heed. They refuse. They shrug their shoulders. You know, shrug the shoulders? Meh. Right? Nowadays, you know, I learned a lot of these words from my daughter. Actually, this word is already outdated. It's called meh. What is meh? Yeah, meh is just meh. Right? They stopped their ears so that they could not hear. So what happened? I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus, the land became desolate after them so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. In other words, God is saying, you see, the reason why you lost the temple in the first place was because you didn't love your neighbor. That's why this whole thing came about. You guys got sent into exile. Now, while you're in exile and you're coming back, guess what? You still haven't figured it out yet. You're still doing all that religious stuff when what I really wanted from you is one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, this is the irony, right? We sometimes invent for ourselves a spirituality that's very onerous, very troublesome, you know. Spirituality that God never required from us in order to satisfy our own sense of spirituality or perhaps goodness. And maybe sometimes we are in danger of doing that same thing, right? God says, I don't want your fasting. I don't want your mourning. I want you to love your neighbor. Now, Isaiah, another prophet, says the same thing. Right? He says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? You see, they've been doing all this fasting and all this religion. God says, I don't want any of these things. I don't want any of your spiritual, religious stuff. Here is the fast that I choose. What is the fast that God chooses? He says, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and when you call, the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. He will take away the yoke from your midst. The pointing of the finger means, you know, accuse people, and speaking wickedness. If you extend, you offer your souls to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. As Christians, we have so much in our liturgy and our songs that we sing. I sometimes worry that a whole young generation will grow up thinking that Christianity is about singing songs. Right? Actually, it's not lah. Right? Singing songs, actually, they don't even sing songs in the original church. But for many of us, we have almost substituted the substance of faith, sometimes with the outward expressions of faith. Isaiah is saying here that if you really want to shine for Jesus, it's a word that we sing a lot, right? In fact, there's a song called Shine Jesus Shine, right? So when we say shine for Jesus, automatically we sing shine Jesus shine, you know. But actually, this has nothing to do with the kind of singing song, right? Say, if you really want to shine for Jesus, here's what you do. When you start loving your neighbor as yourself, when you start looking at all these people the way God, you know, when you do that, God says, I am going to be right there, your rear guard. When you cry, I'm going to be there and say, here I am. Wow. God says, I'm going to hear you, right? And you will truly shine. Your light will go forth. And it's all in black and white. It's already explained. Nothing mysterious, nothing difficult. Wherever you study God's vision and the heart of God in the Old Testament, you will invariably come back to this one truth, that God's vision is where His people loves one another as themselves. And that is the one thing that He requires of us. What God counts as spirituality is how we treat one another. So I always like to tell people, this is the final exam questions. Many of us go to exam. We sometimes do this thing called spotting. Do you know spotting or not? Spotting questions. Meaning you're supposed to read 10 chapters. You don't want to read 10 chapters because you're busy playing Fortnite, right? So now, you only have time to read 3 chapters and you're asking, which 3 will come out, right? That's spotting, right? Now I'm helping you. I'm spotting the question for you. The final exam will have only one major question. When the invigilator says, you may turn over your paper now, don't be shocked. The question is, how did you treat the people around you? That is the single metric. That will not be, how well can you sing this song, alright? Or how many times do you repeat this particular song or that prayer? How much did you fast? How did you mourn? How many buckets of tears did you collect while you were in church, right? All these things, they don't matter whatsoever to God. One metric. How did you treat your neighbor? You know what Christianity is? Very simple. It's all about this. For this reason, true Christianity, and when I was young, like your age, I became a new Christian. I was very zealous for God. I even started writing a newsletter. I call it True Discipleship. You know, the audacity of a young man. I thought you know everything already, right? But today, as I think about it, true Christianity, true faith in God, true obedience is actually eminently practical and relevant. This faith is nothing theoretical about it. It's very practical. It is a spirituality that is not esoteric. It's very pragmatic. And this love, it is not theoretical, it's not conceptual, it's not ethereal, it is tangible. If you cannot feel it, it's not there, right? Jesus fulfilled this. He fulfilled the law. And actually, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, the whole of the law is fulfilled in this one word. Get this, one word. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? If you do this, you have fulfilled the whole law. Now, I know that this is something, you know, some of you are already doing this. You know, I'm always very proud when I hear about the stuff that you guys are already doing. You're out there, you're loving. You know what? If you're doing that, well done. Good job, all right? That is what you keep doing because that is what real Christianity is about. Now, what does love look like in practice, right? So, kind of theory is here, but in practice, how do we actually go about loving people? In such a way that God will say, yes, good job. That is what I wanted you to do. Thank you for doing it, right? Jesus told a parable about this, about a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho along this 50-kilometer stretch of road. If you probably take you about 2 days to hike that. Distance. It was a road that was going up and down through very hilly, rocky terrain. It's a wilderness. It was hot. There was no trees about. Most of the time, not even a shadow. And only here and there you find water. And not only was it so treacherous, it was also dangerous because there were many robbers along the way. Because they know you got nowhere to run and you're tired. So they will come upon you and you'll be attacked. So such was the story in Luke chapter 10. Verse 30 to 37, otherwise known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, I don't know about chance, right? I suppose chance or opportunity kind of depends on what we do with it. By chance, a certain priest came down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Everyone say the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side also, right? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He sent him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's like 2 silver coins, 2 days worth of wages. Gave to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So Jesus asked this man, was asking, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And said, he who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Before we look at this parable, which is already very familiar to all of us, you heard it since Sunday school, this parable is not theoretical. It's not about how you should feel about people. I should feel loving. I should feel pity. No, it's nothing to do with that. This is a practical parable. The ending of the parable is that you should go and think likewise. No. You should go and feel likewise. No. You should go and hope likewise. It says you shall go and do likewise. Right? This is something for you to do. In other words, Jesus is giving you homework. Right? We have homework to do. What are the principles of loving that we can draw? 4 things, well, 3 things and maybe one, you know, supplementary point I want to share with you in the time that we have left. The first thing, we need to know your neighbor. This Samaritan man, unlike the priest and the Levite, you see the priest and Levite, they were, I suppose they were ordinary folks, right? From Jerusalem or going to Jerusalem. The priest, probably to do his religious duty. After all, he was a priest. Maybe he had to go to Jerusalem to pray some prayers, you know. Oh, great Lord of heaven, maker of heaven and earth. Oh, bless this people. Maybe he had to do stuff like that, right? Or maybe he was, had to do some temple ritual, sacrifice some animals. And in order to do that, he had to keep himself pure. He had to be holy. And those days they had a law that says, you touch any dead fella, you will become unclean. So he's probably going along the way and he's thinking, you know, I want to serve God. I want to be spiritual. I want to be holy. So I got to keep myself pure. This guy on the side of the road, you know, he looks like he's bleeding and all that, right? And maybe he's not dead, but who knows? Maybe while I'm helping him, he might die on me. And then I get messed up. I cannot serve the Lord. So you know what? No, thank you. I'm going to go up over the other side of the road. Then comes along a Levite. You know, actually, all priests are Levite, right? But not all Levites are priests. So this Levite, maybe he was also going to do something good. Maybe he was song leading, right? Got to go for music practice, right? Baruch Kaba, B'Shem Adonai. I'm going to go music practice, right? So now I'm going to go to the temple. I can't be unclean, right? And then the Bible says, very interesting. It says, you look there, it says, he came to where, it says, likewise a Levite arrived at that place. He came and he looked. He looked. Okay, so he didn't just like go. You know what, in Singapore, I drive up to Malaysia quite a bit. Right? And it's very interesting. Every now and then, this North South Expressway, there are accidents because all these people racing, I'm also one of them, right? But sometimes, you know, you're racing, then accidents happen. And then as a result of the accident, there'll be long traffic jam, right? I've noticed many times, the traffic jam is very strange. Because when I pass the accidents, the car all on the side of the road already. The 3 lanes are not obstructed. Everyone is slowing down. You know why? They want to see. They want to see whether the fellow see already or not, right? See, it got blood or not. Everyone is slowing down. They are looking, right? They came to the place, they saw someone had an accident. They are looking how many people died, got blood on the road or not. Is that blood or is that oil? Everyone is just slowing down to see. But nobody stops now. They see only, right? And then they pass by on the other side of the road. I think Singaporeans, we're all a little bit like this, right? Sometimes we walk by, we see stuff that happens, right? Most of the time we take out camera, maybe we can stomp this, right? Can get some money there. But we won't stop, we'll just pass by on the other side of the road because we're busy, we've got our own things to do. Levite was no different. Maybe he thought he wanted to be a spiritual person. They pass by on the other side. But then the Bible says, this Samaritan guy, he crossed the road. He came to where this man was. And that's what I mean. You got to know people. You can't know people from the other side of the road. You got to go to where people are in order to know them. And you know what's the most strange thing? It says here, after he had come, right? He crossed the road already. He came to where he was. He saw the man. He started to know about the man. Something very unusual happened. It says, I don't even know where I'm looking. He came to where he was. He saw him. And he had, what did he have? Compassion. Everyone say compassion. You know, someone will tell you, you need to love people, then you go and help people. No. The Bible doesn't do this. The reason you cross the road is not because you have compassion. That time you got no compassion. At most you got curiosity, right? It's only when you go near people and you see them, then you will have compassion in your heart. The reason you cross the road should be obedience. Many Christians are disobedient. They don't cross the road because they think I got no compassion. The reason you got no compassion is because you never cross the road. A couple of years ago when we were planning this thing called Feed 5000, right? So I was having this discussion with Pastor Victor. I was saying, how are we going to do this? You know, people don't feel like they want to go. I said, no, Victor. I don't care what they feel. I don't care whether they backslided or front slided or whatever kind of Christian they are. We only need to do one thing. Get them into the house of these neighbors, right? Get them in the house of the poor person. When they go there, maybe God will give them compassion. Maybe revival will come to them. When they are here, cannot. You want to have revival, you got to cross the road, right? You got to go there. I was thinking, you know what? The principle is you got to get to know people first. And then compassion comes. So the very first principle is you got to get to know people, right? You got to get to know people. Go and find out. You know, last week I was saying that this guy lived in my block, right? And I don't know him. I kind of know him. I thought his name was James all along, right? So I called James, you know, I said, no, that's not my name. Oh, sorry. What is your name? BS, you know, okay, well, you know, with a name like that, how to call you, right? But at least I will never forget his name now. This morning I try again because, you know, I also need to. This now I'm not just telling you, I have to get to know people, right? Because every day I pass by people that I don't know and I don't care about them. Let's be honest about it. We don't have the heart of God. Singing songs will not make you have the heart of God. You want to have the heart of God, you get to know people. So I saw another guy, I saw him. Hey, hi Winston, the guy told me. I'm not Winston, I'm Wilfred. Oh, okay, this time slightly better. At least start with W already. I'm getting closer, right? It is a little bit embarrassing. But spirituality is not that hard. Spirituality don't require you to know a lot of stuff or act funny and weird as sometimes Christians tend to do, right? Sometimes Christians do, I scare me also, I've seen a little bit strange people, right? No, Christianity is very commonsensical. It's very down to earth. All you got to do is say, hi, get to know people. Cross the road to know people. And then you'll know their needs. And then maybe compassion will come into your hearts. First thing is to know people. Second thing, surprise your neighbor. Everyone say surprise. How many of you like surprises? Yeah, some. I mean, good surprises, of course, you know. Surprise, you fail. Oh, so this kind of surprise I don't want, right? So, you know, this compassion led the Samaritan to do something quite surprising. You see, unlike the priest and the Levite, who were both Jews, this man who was wounded was probably a Jew. He came from Jerusalem, right? He's probably a Jew. They were all countrymen. But the Samaritan, and Jews don't normally talk to one another. You remember when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well? He was having this conversation. This Samaritan woman is saying, why are you talking to me? What have you Jews got to do with us Samaritans? We got nothing to do with each other. We don't normally talk to one another. Just like many of us don't talk to the cleaners in our block. Right? We don't talk to them because, you know, what have I got to do with you, right? Just like many of us don't talk to people who are older than us. You're old already. Yeah, geriatric, Jurassic. I'm young. What do I have to talk to you? I'm kind of in the middle, so I talk to both parties still, right? Many people we don't talk to. Well, it was surprising. This Samaritan was surprising. Jesus purposely used a Samaritan to put it in our faces. Here is something unusual happening. This guy had no business with a Jew. Right? No business. I mean, other than the fact, there's just a complete stranger on the side of the road, injured. In any case, when you look at the guy, can you tell whether he was Jew or Samaritan? You cannot. They look exactly the same. They all look like terrorists. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean that. But, you know, just kidding, you know. I probably shouldn't say things like that. Okay, we'll edit out. Right? But, you know, He had no business, right? And on top of that, this was a potentially dangerous situation, right? Right? Potentially dangerous. Who knows? Maybe there's a trap. You stop, next thing you know, you are the one who is in trouble. So it was very surprising that this Samaritan took this man, put on his own donkey, right? Bring him to an inn, paid out of his own pocket. He's not going to get his money back. He didn't even know the name of this guy, right? Look after him, and then really, he really went out to put his own wine and oil. That is a surprise. You know, when you want to love people, I teach you how to love people, right? Surprise them, right? Surprise people. What's surprising? Look, you all got parents, right? I'm sure, of course, you have parents. Otherwise, you know, you're alien. But, you know, you have parents. So, you know, maybe Father's Day, Mother's Day, right? You buy presents for them. Maybe you buy flowers for your mom on Mother's Day, right? And what will your mom normally say? Oh, thank you. Why? Because it's expected. It's not much of a surprise, lah, to be honest. Because, you know, your mom has been mom for a long time already, right? So, it's not surprising that you buy flower for her. But you buy flower for her on National Day. What do you think she'll say? Siao, ah. Okay. I should be surprised. It's like, what brought this on? No, why this? Right? You surprise people when you go out of the way. You exceed their expectations. You want to make friends, you want to cross the road, you want to get to know people, I tell you a secret, surprise them. Do something that they did not expect. How would you like that to happen to you? I mean, just going around, and someone does something nice for you. Feels good? Does it? You would like that, right? I hope so, right? Normal people would like that. You know why this is so surprising? You see, it is an indictment on how far from God our society has become. We have become such a lonely and selfish society that none of us would normally expect some stranger to help you. It would be unthinkable. If someone comes and help you when you're in trouble, your first thing, what does he want from me? Is he trying to rob me while I'm down, right? Correct? Because we have seen all these videos on internet, what? The guy fell down, kabam, you know, die. Then someone comes over, see, oh, you poor thing, take his handphone, run away, right? I mean, this is the world we're living in. That is why we need a new kind of prophets. Not the sort of prophets in church that think, oh dear Lord, you know, all these people, God loves you. No, we need a new kind of prophet that says we need to stand out there and do the thing that God wants us to do. Now, that's a new kind of prophets. To be out there and actually do the unexpected thing. Now, most of us, by habit, will do the expected thing. But when you set your mind, you start to think, how can I do something unexpected for somebody? When I was young, slightly older than you, right? I became a pastor very young, 23 years old. I was already in full-time ministry already. And remember, I was in Chinatown, and I was eating wantan mien, as always. Almost everywhere I go, I eat wantan mien. In one of these, those days, you have a lot of these coffee shops that was like taking a lot of big space. And I was remember, I was eating coffee, what am I talking about? Coffee shop, I was eating wantan mien, right? And there was this old lady who was going from table to table, and she was hunched over her, you can see her back, hunched over, because she was very old anyway. And she was going from table to table, trying to sell some tissue paper. I remember. So I was eating there, right? Now I wasn't very rich, but my wantan mien also cost $2 something, right? So I was eating there, and then I was thinking to myself, I hope she doesn't come to my table. Right? I mean, you, by the way, have you seen this kind of thing before? And you go sit down. It still happens, you know. Nowadays, you sit down somewhere, someone come over. And you also. Right? So I was kind of thinking, oh, I'm asking for money again. So eventually, she came over to my table. And I saw her face. Right? She had a kind face. So I thought, okay, I should give her something. All right? I should. Not just give her something to get rid of her. Because very often that's what we do, right? We are just give her something, just get out of my way. You know, I don't have to deal with you, you know, or hear your sob story. And quite frankly, I don't know whether the story is real or not. But this one is very real, right? So because she's like there. So I started asking her, hey, what's your name? Lekongmat, yeah. So, you know, I started to try my broken Cantonese. I started asking her name. She had as we talk, she began to tell me more and more. Actually, I didn't ask for it. I'm still trying to finish my wanton mee. But she began to tell me, oh, here's where I stay. My children like this. They abandoned me. I've been like this for many years. Wow, she tell. The more she tells, the more animated she got. This very old lady. She looked like 80 over years old, you know. And she started crying. Not just tears, but very loud. Whole coffee shop all looking at me. What did this man do? Are you stealing money from her? I was like, look, I didn't do anything, right? You know, when you go out your way, God will show you things you don't always want to see, but you need to see. Right? See, growing up in church, we are so insulated. We live in a bubble. We do not see the people on the other side of the road. And that is the main reason why Christians don't have the love that God has for people. Because we are living in a bubble. When you go out and cross the road, and you do something surprising, God does something surprising in your life. Do you believe that? You have to be serious about your faith. And being serious about faith is not being more religious. It's being where Jesus wants you to be, crossing the road. The third thing that needs to happen is you need to serve continuously, right? You need to serve your neighbor continuously. Like I said, anyone can do something for a short time, right? Sometimes we just do nice things just to get rid of a particular inconvenience in our lives. But when you serve people continuously, you don't just win their attention, you start to win their heart. So in this particular story, the Samaritan man, he didn't just like, okay, well, you know, I've done my civic duty, you know, I've got to look after him, okay, bye, you know. He didn't just do that. He actually went overboard. He says, look, here's the money, and I tell you what, anything else he needs, I'm coming back, and I will pay for it. I'll come. Wow. This is unusual, right? This is not how most people would behave. This is something quite continuous. And I think when we talk about our Good Neighbor's Day, and I think we were giving out some, you know, this Good Neighbor's card and all that, and we are saying that, okay, you know, last time we used to give cakes to your neighbors, every Christmas, we give cakes to the neighbor once a year, obviously Christmas only once a year. Then, or after that, we kind of got tired of it, and then you give oranges on Chinese New Year, right? Also once a year only, right? Maybe we should give orange during 7 months or something like that. That would surprise them because unexpected. But orange during 7 months, maybe we are, you know, misunderstood, right? You got ask me to die. Okay. So, we used to do this, but we tend to do this once in a blue moon. I tell you, after a while, they also catch up with it. They know that you're just doing this because it's your religious thing only, right? You don't really love them. If you really love them, why only once a year? You know, many times in my building, not many times, rarely, I will have a VIP guest. Some minister will knock on my door. Hi. I thought I'd come as... You know, but this only happens during election time. Right? Non-election time, nobody come on. Nobody care. Right? But during election, suddenly they show up, you know, wear t-shirt. Okay, I probably shouldn't say anything. No party, no affiliation, no nothing. But look, you and I, we're not born yesterday, right? You know this is just a show, right? You know that this is just to make me feel nice. But in fact, you don't really care. And the same can be said about Christians. For all the religious things that we do as Christians, you know, the non-Christians, they know, care one nah, this one so hin, right? They're just doing a show for you. You don't really care. Because they know, we actually don't really care. So, it's important not just to surprise people, we need to serve them continually. In serving continually, you convince them. You see, the first time you do something surprising, they think you're crazy. Second time you do something surprising, they think you want something from them. What do you want from me? You want to get something. The third, the fourth, the fifth time, eventually, you convince them that you are actually a kind person. You are a good person. That is what Christianity is supposed to be. Amen? That is what you and I are supposed to be, right? You do things continuously. Not easy, okay? There are some neighbors who are neighbors from hell. This is not easy to always do that. But that consistency is what you and I are required to do by God. Now, Jesus kind of ends the parable at this point, which means I should end my sermon roughly at this point also. But I want to suggest one more thing that we can do. Because after you have given a good witness, I think you need to go one step further. Because the goal of this thing is to integrate them into the kingdom of God, right? So this last thing is to, okay, so the first thing is to know your neighbor. Second is to surprise your neighbor, right? Third one is to serve, and maybe serve your neighbor continually, right? Consistently and continually. But the fourth one is, I call it the I's, right? Integrate, involve, include, invite, and integrate. Make them a part of your daily lives. Because many times, you know, they don't know what we are doing. We need to do something to draw them in, to invite them in. For this reason, you know, our church, we are planning all kinds of activities and programs in order to just make it easier. Not just, not just ordinary stuff. Some of the things are just exercise program, running around outside, right? Some are gardening on the rooftop. And I'm even thinking mahjong can or not, right? All kinds of stuff. Just so that people can find it more easy to include their friends into their daily life, right? To recover this whole kampung spirit. To make them a part of our extended family, our extended community. And this is the reason why we are doing all these things. So in the next couple of months, you may involve in some of the weeknight programs. We have some stuff here. As you, Christmas comes around, we've got, you know, Christmas events. We are trying to do a mini light up course. So I don't know what it would look like. Depends on how much money we can, how much lights we can afford. But we're light up course, you know, so that if friends come and see our light up course in Queenstown. Queenstown will be the brightest building, you know. Just fun stuff, right? Fun at all times. Fun stuff so that friends will realize, hey, you Christians are very normal. Because normal Christians are a bit weird, right? Because Christians are weird. You know Christians are a bit strange, right? We tend to be a bit, because we talk differently. Oh, praise the Lord. Huh? Praise the Lord. Where's the Lord? You know, because they don't understand what, right? Hallelujah. What? They don't know what is hallelujah. Right? Yeah, they know, right? Hell also they know, but the hallelujah they don't know, right? So we sometimes try to create a more down-to-earth environment. And all of us together play our part in integrating these people, right? So our homework is this. Know your neighbor, right? Know your neighbor. And by neighbor, I don't just mean the person staying next to your house. I mean anybody that you encounter on your commute. The 50-kilometer stretch of road between where you are and where you're going, you bump into all kinds of neighbors. Some closer, some further. Pay attention to these people. Cross the road. Take the time. Crossing the road can be a little bit, you know, costly. It costs your time, costs your energy, effort, right? But you do this, and God says, when you cry, I'm going to answer you. Your healing will spring forth speedily. And your light will really, really shine. It's so simple. But Christians invent all kinds of other ways to be a Christian. And God already said, this is the one thing that I require of you, right? So know your neighbor. Make time to visit one another. I'm not sure how it's like with young people nowadays, right? Do you still visit your friends' houses these days? Is it something that you could do? Right? Some. Nowadays, you only visit their chat group, right? You know, it's like, just log in, Telegram, right? I visit your house already, right? But different now. I think you need to actually meet people face-to-face. FaceTime is great, but I think real face-to-face is even better, right? So don't Facebook, don't FaceTime, face-to-face. Get to know people. Maybe your cell group. Don't always meet in the same place, Meet in different people's house, you know? Irritate different parents, Spread the irritation around a little bit. Secondly, surprise your neighbor. Right? Surprise you. Do something. It can be someone here, right? A neighbor here. It can be. Do something nice. Surprise them out of season, not just in season. The more unexpected it is, the better. In a good way, okay? Don't give that kind of prank sort of stuff. You know, some people tend to do that. And serve your neighbor consistently. I'm thinking about, there's this guy, uncle, who was over at the Shell station, right? I always go there to pump my petrol at the Shell station across the road. And there was an old man who started working there about a year ago. Right? Very, very friendly guy. And he's old, he's a bit slow. And every time I go there, he'll try to clean my car. But, you know, he's not very good at it. So, basically, he just moves the mud around. Right? So after he cleaned this. But, you know, I really am touched by his gesture. He's really nice, he tries his best. I've been thinking, maybe I should go and buy tau hua for him or something, tau hui for him. I should do something nice for him. I'm still kind of thinking, is he allowed to eat on work and all? But I'm thinking about someone that I can surprise. I hope you can think something like that too. Doesn't have to be complicated, simple little things, but unexpected. And I can just imagine his face when I show up, you know, with Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh my goodness, you know, okay, maybe he, you know, that will probably die earlier because all the oil and the thing. Something healthier, right? Something nice for him. I can just imagine the smile on his face, right? And then I imagine if I can keep this up. Now, all the auntie at the McDonald's here, they all know me already, right? Because I've kept it up for a little while. I hope you do the same. Be consistent. The goal is to win over people's heart with your kindness. Of course, you don't have to be a perfect Christian to do this. And the truth is, I know we are all very imperfect, but I think we can love, right? And last of all, slowly invite them. Invite them to be part of your community. Involve them in fun stuff in your life. Make them, you know, happier. And, you know, process, help them to know the Lord. So turn to your neighbor and say, go and do likewise. Alright, this is our homework, right? We want to go out there, we want to be the light of this neighborhood, but not in our own way, in God's own way. Amen? Amen? I hope you young people, because, you know, this year's National Day celebration is all about the young people. All the kiddies, they're all getting the star. Now old people like me all know place already. So this nation is in your hands. You got to rise up. You got to grow up, right? And you got to become real. Be the real thing. I want to see you guys be the real prophets. People who stand up for what God stands up for. Not people who stand up for, you know, the fluff that we invent for ourselves. That doesn't impress God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that when we were the ones on the roadside, you cross over the road. In fact, you cross over the grand chasm in order to reach us and save each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Today, God, you tell us there's one thing you want of us. You don't ask from us highbrow spirituality. You don't ask of us some fancy expression, elaborate songs of show of piety. You ask us one thing that you want, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, Father, today we pray that you help us to cross the road, to know our neighbor, to be humble enough to stoop down and see them for who they are, to see them as you see them, to know them, and to allow our hearts to be filled with your compassion. Lord, help us to surprise them, to surprise someone with God's love and kindness today. We can all do that every day of our lives. Help us to do that. I confess, Lord, I've not done this enough. And as a church, we probably have not done this enough. But God, we can do better. Help us to serve out a consistent witness for you. Not just a pretentious, momentary show, but a consistent witness that comes from deep inside. When we extend our souls, we offer our souls to those who are in need. Last of all, God, help us to enlarge the tent. Enlarge this tent so that more people can be involved, included, integrated into your family. We thank you, Lord, as we go and do this, to do likewise. May you empower each one of us. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand together as we sing this closing song.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fire. I want to take your word and shine it all around. First help me just to live in love. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown. For my reward is only giving to you. I want to take your word and shine it all around. First help me just to live in love. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown. For my reward is giving glory to you.
Indeed, before we shine the word around, we have to live it, right? Amen? It's no point holding the word of God and going around and just not living it out, not doing anything with it. And I got David here. He very quickly, National Day was just what, yesterday? No, Day of His Power was just 2 days back where this thank you for being my good neighbor card was being given out. And very quickly, he has already used it. He has already lived it out to be a good neighbor to his neighbors. So we're just going to get him to share his experience, just to encourage you guys to know that it is possible and doable. Yeah, David.
I think I'm only like but one of the many different ones of us who have already did it also. When I got it, I was a bit bummed that like we didn't have the open it when your preacher gives, when say so that thing. But I saw it says Happy National Day and I thought like, I better immediately do it lah. If not like, it's a bit weird to give it after National Day also. But you can still do it. And like so how it happened was there's this group of, like there are a couple of uncles who like sit at the void deck where my house is at, in between where my house is at to the MRT. So a few years ago, every time I walk past, right, a few years ago, I realized, I thought, like, it's a bit rude, it's a bit lame if I don't, you know, if I, every day I walk past them, I don't say anything at all, and I don't even acknowledge their presence or anything. So I decided, like, okay, I'm gonna just, like, start saying hi. And I don't know how many young people do that, like, usually, like, we just, like, plug in our earphones and just walk past people. But I realized, like, I think that's what, like, I should do. So I did it. So I started by saying, like, hi, uncle. It was quite awkward the first time. But as, like, I kept doing it, like, uncle, the two uncles would just, like, constantly ask me, like, oh, hey, where you going now? Or, like, then I'll be like, oh, go church. Then they're like, oh, again, Yeah, or, like, wherever, like, you know what you're doing now? Oh, you already, Like, so, like, slowly I built a relationship with them. Slowly I managed to talk with them beyond just hi-byes. Then a year ago, I realized, like, okay, maybe I need to do something better. I should do something more than just hi-bye. So one of the weekends when I was free, I went to get some food, and then I went to sit with them and eat with them. Progress to now, I realized like a few weeks ago when we were reading in the 40 Day Fast booklet, I realized yet again I need to up my level again. Then I thought about it. I was like, okay, what can I do now? What can I do better to bless them? And then yesterday, I brought my guitar. So I just went to hang with them. I brought my guitar, went to play with them. I wrote a little thing in this card also, like just to, like, dear uncle, thank you for being my best uncle, friend, things like that. And then after that, so I went to just hang with them and just give it to them lah. I think it was really good, like, one of the uncle, he was like really, like, touched. He said like, oh, I've never really, like, no one has given me something like this before. So like, I think there are very, like, tangible ways to reach out to the people around us as well. And it doesn't take a lot to do that. It takes a hi, it takes a bye, it takes have a good day, uncle or auntie, you know. And I think it's in these things that we can live out the gospel, and these things that we can live out the truth of what He has done in our lives, lah. And slowly, I hope to progress also to like bringing this uncle to church or some, I don't know, whatever, lah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing, David. So, see, yeah, you guys want to clap? You can clap. This is to show that it's not impossible. You know, there's this quote that says, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result, right? We cannot keep not engaging or initiating, talking to our neighbors, and we expect like, oh, suddenly my block got this whole very nice neighbor feel. But we are called to be the ones to be that spark of change, the ones that start something new. And I've been reading James recently, and James 1:22 really convicted me, and it says, don't just be hearers of the word, but you got to be doers of the word, and not you are deceiving yourselves, right? There is the element of having to go and do it, and not we'll just be like 40 day booklet, my favorite phrase, well, we will be holy huddlers, where we huddle in church and not do anything. And so James 1:22 says, be doers of word, not just hearers. And 1 John 4:20 to 21 as well, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And I think this is what Christianity is about. It's not a religion of just knowing scripture, understanding scripture, but we have to apply it. We have to go forth and do what God has commanded us to do. It's not a suggestion. The word of God is not a suggestion, but it commands us and it compels us to go and love our neighbors. And one last thing, very interesting. In the Good Samaritan, the lawyer who was asking Jesus all these things, right, asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? And you realize at the end, just now when we read, at the end of the parable, Jesus didn't answer him and say, oh, this person is your neighbor, this person is your neighbor. But Jesus actually got him to answer, what should you do? Which is to be merciful and loving to others. So sometimes we might ask ourselves, oh no, who's my neighbor? Maybe today after today's sermon or day of his power, you're wondering, who is my neighbor? I don't know who to love. But the first thing that must change is your heart to want to love, to want to be merciful and kind to those around you. And to answer that question, who is your neighbor, right? For NS guys, your NS guys in camp, those are your neighbors. For those who are studying in secondary schools, the person sitting next to you, literally, is your table neighbor, right? Or the friends that you have in school are your neighbors. You know, in JC, in Poly, in ITE, in campus, all these people around you are your neighbors. And my favorite one, there's this quote that says, sometimes loving your neighbor doesn't require you to step out of your front door. Your family members are your neighbors as well. And sometimes you see them in and out every single day, and then you forget to love them. But in this season, okay, not in this season, in every season of our lives, let us be intentional to love those around us. Can we do that? Yes? All right, let's just close with a prayer. Father, I thank you for the word that has been spoken, that has been preached to us today. Let it not fall on deaf ears. Let it not fall on the sidewalk. But let it be word that takes root and grows in our hearts, that would translate to action. Father, we pray that you change our hearts, you mold our hearts, you teach us how to be compassionate. You change our vision to look to the people who needs love, who needs care, and you help us to be intentional in loving the people around us. So Father, we pray that we as a Coos youth will not be holy hardless in church, but we will be a generation of youths that will make a difference, that will change culture, and that will establish your kingdom wherever we are. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can we all thank Pastor Daniel? Can we? Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Daniel. For those who need this pack, you want to use it, you can, after, before youth service next week, you can approach the admin counter to get one of these tags or more if you want, you have many neighbors. Yeah. And service is over. Hope to see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.